So now we have a second point. Take time with the Lord and slow down. Luke 10, 41 and 42 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Martha was running about and trying to take care of serving people and all that stuff. And the Lord saw that. And then he saw Mary at his feet, just listening to what he was saying. And this is what he said. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So if you're too busy for God, then you're too busy. God is pointing out that Mary did the good thing. Mary just sat at his feet to listen, as opposed to Martha, which was, she was busy trying to serve everybody, make food, do this, do that. And she even got mad at Mary. But the Lord calmed her down and said, no, she's doing the right thing, Martha. So the Lord is not part of a list that you have to do during the day. He's the one in which you will have to do and face one day soon, either in death or in the rapture. I cannot emphasize too much, Christ is not first in your life. He is your life and breath and shield. He is the Savior, the Counselor, the Almighty God. So imagine what we can learn from Him. Imagine the warmth of a loving Father that these days most people do not know what that feels like. Imagine the peace and contentment that comes from walking on water with Him. Okay, it doesn't have to stay in the imagination though, it can be reality. Then stuff like this happens. There was a man that lived a while ago. His name was George Mueller of Bristol. This is to show you that once you reach a level in a relationship with the Lord on a reading and studying and praying basis, stuff like this can happen. Okay, so if David was a man after God's own heart, I believe that George Mueller may have actually had it, his heart that is. He went from a rebellious playboy to one of the greatest examples of a man so close to God that it prompted people to ask him his secret. One time he was on a missionary journey later on in life on a ship and he was going to be late. The clouds rolled and visibility was low and there was no way the ship can get to its destination on time. So Mueller, seeing this, went below the ship to pray and asked God to remove the clouds so the ship can arrive on time for his meeting. Now the captain of the ship wanted to go pray with George Mueller. And George Mueller said, "No, sir, thank you very much, but I don't think you're saved, so you can't come and pray with me." He followed the Bible saying we shouldn't be unequally yoked with lost people when it comes to serving and worshiping God. By the time he went back up, the clouds were gone and he arrived on time. These are all true stories, okay? I'm not making them up. Actually, this is one of the least fascinating story of this guy's life. So you can go online and check his biography on YouTube. There's a couple of versions of it. It's very fascinating. Point number three, think of what he has done and not done for you. One day, me and my wife, we were driving and we were stopped at a light. It was nighttime. And I just, as a joke, whatever, I said something about the ring she was wearing. And what happened was, while that little pause happened, she didn't notice the green light. And she didn't take off. Meanwhile, a car ran right through the red light. Right at that moment. That just goes to show that we should be satisfied with things God gives us and with things God doesn't give us. Because that day we could have both been dead. The guy was rolling like really, really fast. On a 50 street, he must have been doing 110. That's something God didn't give us and we're satisfied with that. Okay, so Philippians 4:11 states, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." That's the Apostle Paul talking. If you love someone, you want to spend time with them. Well, the Lord is waiting. He has all the time in the world, but you don't. One day, time for you will be up, and what are you going to say when you see Him? You may tell yourself, "It's hard because I cannot see the Lord." Did you know that seeing in the Bible is a spiritual notion? It's like when you want to buy a car, all of a sudden you start seeing that make, model, and color everywhere. Did the car suddenly appear out of thin air? No, the car was always there. It's just now you have a desire and a reason to see it. Okay, seeing the Lord's hand in things is just tuning your sight to see them. That's it. You need to desire it and he will make it happen. So basically, this is where I want to show you another illustration, a Bible illustration. It comes from 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. Okay, so just to summarize, this is where the king of Syria gets fed up with the prophet Elisha. Okay, not Elijah, Elisha. Messing up his plans by telling the king of Israel his battle plans beforehand so he knows what to expect, so they don't get killed. Then the king of Syria gets fed up and he wants to capture Elisha. Okay? But the young men that were with Elisha were afraid. So Elisha, to reassure them, asked the Lord to make them see what was really going on in the spiritual realm. So you got to remember also that Elisha walked around seeing these manifestations when others could not see them. So what am I talking about? 2 Kings 6, 16, 17. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So you see, the young man that was serving Elisha, the prophet, was afraid because he saw the enemy coming. But Elisha prayed to the Lord and asked him to see what Elisha sees. And behind him were chariots of fire and his own army, except no one else can see it. So seeing is a spiritual thing in the Bible. In conclusion, being satisfied or content is very difficult in North America for the simple fact that we're trained from when we're used to do more, be more, want more, achieve more, and then you'll be a success. It's all about worldly success. What about success with the Lord? Success with the Lord is when you've reached the state that Paul was in when he said in Philippians 4, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So when we can wholeheartedly say this without lying to ourselves or pretending so we look good to someone else, then this is a taste of success with the Lord. And in turn, he gets satisfied with our pursuit of his things, his knowledge, his ways. "My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness," the verse says. Just a little side note, marrow is in the bones and is the physical reason you're alive. Fatness comes with having more than what you need, and you enter into the realm of luxury with the Lord. How did David know that the marrow was the reason for the production of red and white blood cells and platelets that turn into essential cells, the reason you're alive physically? How did he know that? He wasn't a PhD. He didn't cut up bodies and saw the marrow pour out and get a microscope and look at all that stuff. He didn't do that. You know why he knew that? Because of verses like Psalm 111:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and God and good understanding, having all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever." So how did David know the medical reason that he had to praise the Lord for his health? It's because he feared the Lord and God gave him that wisdom. He didn't need to go to school for 20 years and get a PhD and become a lab technician and get a microscope. He just needed to desire God, and God let him know all these things. That's being satisfied with the Lord. It's a blueprint on how to be satisfied with the Lord. And that's all I have for you today. God bless. So we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this message. It's a tough message in North America, but it is something that must be done. It's hard to do, but it must be done. It should be a lot easier, but it's apparently it's not, or else everybody would be doing it. So please help us be more like Paul, being satisfied if we have a lot or if we have a bit. And bless this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.